We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We got a fan on the field.
There's somebody wanting to shake the hand of Brad Miller. What is going on there? Get him out of here.
He's got his cell phone with him, filming himself.
And that is going to be a felony charge. That's not worth it. That was very weird.
Nope.
He's being handcuffed in front of the Phillies dugout, and he's going to have a felony on his record forever.
That was strange. Just kind of wandering over from the third base side.
And now there are police on the field.
Walk him down the right field, the warning track, and he'll be out of here.
Yeah, I didn't catch it at first either. It was so
subtle and quiet until he got almost close.
And then Brad Miller, the batter, started to back up because who is this strange person on the field? Now he's being escorted by two officers into the seats. He's going to...
I'll be honest, I think Joe Block and Steve Blass right here on the fan captured the entire essence of that perfectly, and I think Joe Block said it right. Have a good one. That's on your record for life. Like, if they want to make that stick, disorderly conduct, I actually think. If they want to make that stick to the fullest extent, and I hope they do, yeah, that defines you. What? I don't know. I saw Deadspin write this up. I saw other outlets obviously cover it. That happened in the top of the sixth inning. And there was a certain sort of detached nonchalance about it, just like the guy sauntering out there like he owned the place, who said he did it on a dare or whatever. And sort of just like, well, here's another moron on the field. All right, go about your business. I don't know. There was something weirdly unsettling to me watching Brad Miller in the batter's box step out and be like, what are you doing? And here's why it's unsettling. Brad Miller's a professional athlete who, by definition, could kick the ass of this person almost assuredly. He's also holding a bat that he could kill this person with if he felt threatened enough. If the person charged him, no one's going to blame Brad Miller for, at the very least, taking that bat and swinging for the fences at the guy's liver, right? The guy might file a suit, but he'll probably lose. You were on the field, you assume the risk, you're the idiot. I guess what gets me about it, and Steve Blass said this in his commentary, and he's got his cell phone with him. The guy said he did it on a dare. He's filming himself. Look at me, wee, I'm funny. And I've seen people run and hold their phones in like selfie video mode and then get tackled and wiped out. And I'll admit, in the past, I've laughed when the ballpark security is out there and crushes them. And I always laugh when these people get their asses handed to them by either a player, the rare times a player says, screw this, I'm doing it, like James Harrison in Cleveland, sending that Browns fan basically to hell. Well, forget it. Or like, you know, any umpire executing a perfect form tackle, right? I always like seeing that part of it happen. But when Steve Blass is talking about the cell phone, and then Joe Block saying, yeah, it was weird. Brad Miller just steps out all of a sudden. Nobody notices and says, who's this weird person walking towards me? You know what I think of? And again, you know what? I'll say this much. I know somebody who had a high school football game at Heinz Field, streaked across Heinz Field, and he got thrown in jail. And he got lucky because it didn't, like, ruin him. But he was also nude. So, like, that's a different... You're not hiding any weapons, let's put it that way. That guy walking out onto the field real slow, like, how does that not unsettle any, you know, everybody in that park? And I know that you go through a metal detector, and that's the whole point. There's a lot of security going into parks to try to prevent this sort of thing from happening. And I know that the player there has the physical advantage and has an actual weapon on their person. I don't know, did anybody else not, like, see that video of it, though, and get very unsettled watching it, wondering, is this guy going to pull something weird? Is he walking out so nonchalantly, not because he wants to shake his hand, but because he's got something literally or figuratively up his sleeve? I only think back to one event in sports history, and that's Monica Seles getting stabbed so many years ago with a crazed fan coming out of the stands and almost killing her. And like, I know that it's been like sort of a laughing, joking theme to today's show is, oh, Chris, you're becoming a dad. Like, you're going full dad mode with all of your opinions on things, and you're saying this and that. I don't know. What is the appeal here? And why is this not, for lack of a better word, I'm wondering, I guess, if everybody else was sort of put off by it the way I was. There was something about this that was different than your average. I don't know. Here's what it boils down to for me. There was, when you see, like, the usual idiots running out onto the field, and they're, like, waving their arms and jumping around, right? In the outfield, in the open space, I'm not saying that you feel like the situation is under control or not dangerous, because it always is. By definition, when a fan enters the playing surface to try to get at somebody or just to be on the surface, it's dangerous for one party or another. But when they're running around doing figure eights in the outfield until some burly security guy knocks them into the next dimension, you feel like, all right, here's somebody that was overserved, and that's that. The dude that walks out like yesterday, looking like he's sort of got a plan in place, puts me very much ill at ease. And think about like the debates we've been having in baseball lately. Netting for protecting fans, right? And how players are so desperate for it to be like a league-wide thing. Obstruct their views. We don't care. We have to live with it if we hit a foul ball screamer that injures somebody who has no time whatsoever to react to it because it's just hit too hard. Right? You've got that debate going on. And yet, the players, again, are the exposed ones here. Do you remember, and his name eludes me now, that complete dolt father and son White Sox fans who beat up the Royals first base coach and left him with like permanent hearing loss and everything else, and only they got onto the field quick, jumped the field, started beating this guy up, and only the intervention of other players who then tried to like wail on them save the guy from further injury. But they caused permanent damage. I was Tom Gamboa, I think, was... Yeah, well, yeah, I don't care about the name, Jermichael, of the guys that did it. I think it was Tom Gamboa, I want to say, was the first base coach for Kansas City. And this guy and his son, who don't deserve to be mentioned by name, I don't know. Whenever I see something like yesterday happen, I think of that, or I think of Monica Seles, and I think, how is this not a... How are there not better safeguards, basically, to prevent this from happening? You know, we talk about netting, like I said, and we talk about keeping the fans safe. And I understand how ridiculous it sounds to say keep the players safe, but what if there's an almost assured dynamic here of the player could beat up the fan if the push came to shove, and I'm sure the other players would do it. That's the kind of thing that happened yesterday that could break very bad very quick if somehow that guy smuggled anything in or whatever. Or had true ill intentions other than I'm a dope and I got dared to do this. I saw, you know, every version of people getting fake mad about it or getting more mad than or getting mad about something ancillary to it or blaming some group of people for it. It's weird. And I don't know. Like, I'm trying to go back to being 20. Or like in my late teens or just old enough to drink legally. And whether or not I would have ever said at 22 years old, somebody could have said, hey, Chris, you run onto that field, $500. I'll shake on it. And I've never reneged on a bet. I wouldn't do it. I'm astonished that somebody would actually do it. I'm astonished that kind of got covered like, hey, why'd this guy lazily come onto the field? It was weird, too, that the cops at the ballpark didn't exactly run to get him. Again, the only thing that I say with like absolute certainty in these situations should be the security staff should actually beat the tar out of every one of these people that comes onto the field. Like, I don't care if it's a streaker. Tackle him. And this guy yesterday, I don't know. It was one of those things that I watched it. I watched it again. I watched the video. You watch Miller step out and just be like, whoa. And did not have a good feeling pretty much like the rest of the game. And then when you actually see the video, you're like, ugh, what is he supposed to do? This puts, by the way, onus on the players. Hey, you have to figure out how to handle this. If this guy comes in and tackles you, don't waylay him too hard. I don't know. What if he sucker punches Miller, breaks his jaw, then what? You can ban him for life. The next idiot, it's like whack-a-mole for stupid people. And it doesn't happen that often, but it happens enough. And I feel like the fact that it occasionally gets covered by announcers, and I think Joe Block and Steve Blass actually did a great job with it. I think Joe Block being very condescending, frankly, to the person walking on the field was exactly what that person deserved. Too often it's like, oh, now we've got an overserved fan out there. Like, what happens when somebody pulls a knife or something that they smuggled in? Seriously. I know. Chris, quit clutching your pearls. Chris, it's not that big of a... It will be some... It's going to be. It should... Any fan getting out onto the surface of any sporting event should have ended when Monica Seles got stabbed. It honestly should have. And that should have been the end of it. Period. Everybody else that tries it gets broke within two steps of getting on, you know, wherever they are. And it doesn't. The dude just walked up. If you're the cops there or the staff, how are you not, like, sprinting after the guy? That's your job. That was me griping about something that I don't know. It left a very bad taste in my mouth. I guess I wonder if it did for other people. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Another sour taste in the mouth was left by a video game and a former Pittsburgh athlete. I am acutely aware that the story I am about to tell you about, if you missed it, is a little bit aged. But it happened while I was on vacation. And it was one of those things so sublimely stupid that it cut through my no sports on vacation policy. And I said to myself when I saw this story, come hell or high water on Monday, July 22nd, I will spend a few minutes discussing this. We're going to talk about a receiver scorned coming up next. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations, North Huntington and the North Hills. I have a confession at 5 o'clock, a sports confession to make from vacation. In about 15 minutes, heard through the grapevine, some coworkers were talking real bad on me. A coworker, while I was out, with some less than flattering things to say about my... Now, say what you will about me as a person. Idiot, large head, I don't think you actually made 9-3s. You just kind of suck. You're a jerk. Hate your Twitter presence, blah, blah, blah. You think about maybe criticizing my work. Oh, now you've stepped into the octagon, friend. Okay? So in about 15 minutes, we're going to handle a little business here. Because I won't take these kind of critiques lying down, friends. Oh, no. Oh, I'll take them sitting up. That's how I'll take them. And boiling over with rage. It's what I do best. By the way, the fan hotline is brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions. Boiling over with rage. I don't know if I would go that far, but Antonio Brown was not happy about his Madden rating. Now, it would be one thing if, just to troll him, they did what they do to, like, long snappers and fourth-string defensive ends or whatever, right? Your last guys on the depth chart. The guys who, if you're playing in New England, it's rent, don't buy. You're not going to be there very long. There's going to be a lot of roster churn here. You're a borderline practice squad player, right? You're late in your career. You don't actually, like, whatever. It's not, it'd be funny if they trolled him by making him, like, a 62 overall in this year's Madden. Oh, the guy sucks, can't catch, blah, blah, blah. Why would we give him a higher rating? No. That would be overt and funny. Antonio Brown, I know this was a week ago, but bear with me. I was on vacation, and it, like I said, it sliced right through the whole I'm not going to pay attention to sports. I don't even remember how I came about. I think I saw it on TV, and I was like, are you kidding me? And then he deleted whatever tweets he had because he was mad about like them not paying him enough or not paying him all his money for being on the cover, I guess. It's not that Antonio Brown got rated like criminally, hilariously, obviously trolling low. He got put at a 98. There were 499s in the game. Bobby Wagner, who probably doesn't register for all that many people, right? DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think we have any issues there, do we? I think we're all like, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins was pretty awesome last year, right? Aaron Donald. Okay. Who was the other one? Brady? Was it Brady? What's that? Oh, is it Mahomes? Whatever. Doesn't even matter. It was four. And those are the three I remembered. If it was Mahomes, good. He deserves it. Brown was a 98. Do you know what I say to that? His anger? His outrage? His incredulity about being rated a mere 98? He's got a beef! Antonio Brown has a legit beef with EA Sports, in my opinion. He should be rated a 99. I know. Oh, Chris, come on. How could you take... Come on now. We've all played those games, right? They've gotten better and better at making Madden realistic, I think. Lining up. Like, how many 99s are there? If a 99 is best of the best of the best of the best, transcendent, all-time great, how many of those actually are there in the NFL right now? If you don't put Brady there because you say he's a system guy or he's a product of Belichick or whatever, fine. Aaron Donald would be a 99, right? Do we agree? You could make a case that when J.J. Watt was like fully healthy all the time, 99. Wouldn't A.B. be like the definition of it? He led the league in touchdowns. That whole rating system is very much a what have you done for me lately sort of thing with EA Sports. And I know he had, by his standards, a down year in terms of yards and in terms of how often he was targeted versus how often he actually caught the ball. His down year was still better than pretty much everyone else's. If touchdowns are what matter, if playing big-time football on the biggest stages is what mattered, shouldn't they have gone with him anyway? I know he skipped the last game of the season. I am acutely aware of this. But when they played the Saints, he was the best player on the field. In a cauldron. He single-handedly kept their season alive. You gotta put him in. If you're putting Hopkins up, and I love DeAndre Hopkins. I think he is a monster out on the field. If you're putting him at 99, you better be putting Antonio Brown. Or is this one of those deals where it can only be one player at like each position? You're not going to have your... If it was... It probably was Mahomes. I can't imagine that. Oh, it was Khalil Mack, so it wasn't even a... There wasn't even a quarterback. Okay, so you have an edge rusher. I get it. Bobby Wagner's a great football player. You've got Aaron Donald, who's just a freak of nature. And you've got DeAndre Hopkins. You got to have Antonio Brown in there. I know it's a lot of fun. Wagner obviously being like an inside guy. A middle guy. I know it's fun to poke fun at Antonio Brown. Why is he getting so jammed up? Holy crap, he actually deleted his tweets. Maybe even he knows that this wasn't a great idea, but he's got a case. If you were ranking like the transcendent players in the league, he would still have to be up there. You can't have a discussion of who is the absolute best in the world in the NFL without having Antonio Brown. Remember, just these are his down year stats, okay? 104 catches, 1297, and 15 touchdowns. That's a bad, and that was universally thought of as a not quite vintage year from him. He didn't make first team all pro. Although I think Peter King said he took him off the list, right? Didn't he take him off the list for something? For the week 17 thing? Or for his general like conduct? I don't know. That looks like a 99 rating to me. The real buried lead here is, how does Madden continually as a franchise hold such sway with these guys? I know it's because they grew up playing it, and now if they're in the league, they get to actually play as themselves, which has to suck for the guys who are like third string tight ends who are like, no, I'm starting for my team, thank you. Well, your team's going 5-11 if you're getting targeted every play. But it's not even the good football game of EA Sports' games. The NCAA series was way better. You could run the option. Man, Starkey waxes poetic about winning the national championship with Buffalo and James Starks in a blizzard, like, once a day. That's still one, and you know what? That's one of the most relatable things I ever felt like I had with Joe. I, too, would create a team that played in Barrow, Alaska, ran a speed option, and had all the ratings of every player jake to 99 so that I could just mess with teams. It's not even the best football game of the bunch that EA used to make. And they don't make NCAA now because we can't have nice things in this world. As funny as it is that Antonio Brown got that furious at a video game ranking, and I will concede that on its face it is a very funny thing, he has a case. He can be ridiculous for getting that mad about it. He can also be correct. And in this case, he is. He is. I'm sorry. I cannot find fault with his actual principle that underpins his argument. If he's not a 99, who is? The actual list of 99 should be like him, Donald. I'll concede, it's hard to put Bobby Wagner in there. Knowing how great he is and everyone acknowledges how great he is, he doesn't play a position that lends itself to that. The list of true 99s in the NFL should be like maybe three players. And Brown and Donald are two of them. Anyway. Fan Morning Show Porch Tour, it's ready to come to your house. You can register, 937thefan.com, right now to have the Fan Morning Show guys broadcast from your house with food and drinks for you and your friends. The remaining dates of the Porch Tour, July 26th, August 16th. It's brought to you by Gutter Helmet, Old Smoky, Iron City, Fanatic Impressions, Primanti Brothers, and J&D Waterproofing. I'll take a lot of things in this world. I'll bite my lip. Bite my tongue, and I'll swallow my pride and take a lot of criticisms, a lot of personal attacks, a lot of slings and arrows. Get a lot of them every day on Twitter. People tell me, you suck, quit, we hate you, you're the worst, you're ugly, your hairline's receding, you're bald, your head has probably got its own gravitational pull. What I won't take is professional criticism. When it's coming from inside the house, a fan employee was so bold as to go on the air while I wasn't even here to defend myself and excoriate me for my on-air performance or an aspect of it. I have my rebuttal prepared, and I have it prepared for you coming up next. All right, before we dive into some serious stuff here, some stuff that's been eating at me pretty much since before the show, but I wanted to wait so I didn't just come on the air seething about it. And I don't want to make the show all about me, even though I'm one half of the PM team, so in a way the show is at least 50% about me. We got some good stuff here. I'm angry enough about what I'm about to talk about here that I'm just going to do a straight giveaway. No, like, clever little know this or know that thing. Actually, I lied. I got something. I put up a poll question. I asked, is this a good or bad decision earlier in the show, right? What is the thing that my wife and I purchased, acquired, added to our house that I was trying to debate, hey, is this a good or bad move by me? First person that can tell, all you have to do, you don't have to know the name of the thing, just what the thing is. You tell JerMichael Finley, if you're the first caller that knows it at 412-928-9370, you get a pair of Chris Stapleton tickets. KeyBank Pavilion, Saturday, August 10th. First caller to know what my wife and I purchased that I was ruminating publicly on, whether it was a good or bad move, gets the pair of Chris Stapleton tickets. Okay. So, I was out on vacation, and that means I was not here to defend myself, I would say, against, I don't know, what would I call it, scurrilous attacks? I take a lot of critiques, take a lot of slings and arrows from people on Twitter. But those are personal attacks. Whatever. You call me an idiot. Say I'm ugly. I've heard it all before. My God, I hear that at home every day. What I won't take is any kind of critique from inside the building, publicly aired, about my performance on the air. And then I am greeted before the show with audio of this.
Mueller is a Browns fan.
We've got to get him at some point here to give that up. Because if he doesn't, I don't think you are going to ever truly accept Chris and take Chris into your heart and appreciate him until he gives up the Browns thing. He's going to need to come on the air at some point and say, F the Browns. I don't care about that franchise anymore. I know that my family used to live there. I know that my mom's family is still there. But guess what? I live in Pittsburgh. I care about the Steelers first and foremost. I hope the Browns have another 0-16 season. Odell Beckham Jr. makes a fool of himself. Baker Mayfield blows. And everything just goes off the rails there. It's just an epically bad season. And then I think if he does that, if he makes that transformation, I could see Mueller scoring enormous points with his audience, with our audience. Until then, I think it's very much an uphill battle for him. Because that is a non-starter. There are certain things you look for in a relationship. Diehard Browns fan, that's a tough one to overcome.
That's just a condensed version of the, what would you call it, treacherous attack by a guy I thought had my back. He's my co-host. He sits across from me every day. Andrew Filippone and I go to battle together. Yeah, it's a ratings battle. It's not an actual battle with guns and knives and things and incendiary whatever. But it's a battle. I thought this guy was my friend. I thought this guy was my coworker. He is my, oh, I know he's my coworker. And he uses time where I'm away to, I guess, vent his real feelings about me. Thinking maybe Chris will just check out. Won't follow up with anything that happened on the air. Maybe Chris will just kind of let this one pie. Be less of a Browns fan. Well, he's got it wrong. I have said many times that maybe I want the Browns to win one Super Bowl. But even in that context, I don't want them to go through the Steelers to do it. I want them to go 14-2, losing twice to the Steelers. And then some other team knock the Steelers out so that the Browns don't have to play them. I don't want them to beat the Steelers. I am a Steelers fan. You can have dual loyalties. Andrew Filippone should know. He was the man making googly eyes at the Pittsburgh Pirates. This man, this bastion. And Andrew works very hard. So while I wounded that he would presume to tell me, the native Pittsburgher, who I should root for and what will connect with the Pittsburgh fan. He does work hard. He does have his finger on the pulse. But this man nearly committed sports bigamy. He was sitting there across the bar earlier in this baseball season, making eyes, ordering drinks for the Pittsburgh Pirates. This avowed through thick and thin New York Mets fan was suddenly going to jump ship to a ship, a pirate ship, the Jolly Roger, to what? To what end? Hmm? Has he no loyalty? Has he no gumption? Has he no sense of sticking with something through thick and thin? The Mets were underperforming. The Pirates merely needed to show him a sign. And he would have jumped and forsaken his beloved New York Mets for the rest of time. And now this man, who would so easily drop his convictions. Oh, he mentioned Syracuse and the Giants and what have you. And he mentioned the Mets, but he forgot to mention that part. Would tell me to stop saying nice things about the Browns. To go against what my intellect tells me is true, that they are a very good football team. And to, and this is a disgusting, disgusting, dirty word in this business, where if nothing else, I've given you my honest opinion day in and day out, whether that means we were on the same side of an argument, Andrew and I, whether that means it maybe didn't make for great radio. I could never be one of those guys that just fabricated arguments and opinions just to get a rise out of people. He's suggesting, make no mistake about this, that I pander to you, the listener. We've been together a long time. You and I, Joe listener, Jane listener, and I. Have we not? From the late shift days. When we would play the Undertaker's theme music at 1 a.m. To the days before that, when a gentleman who identified himself on the text line named Always Working would just text up and say, what's up at 2:15 in the morning? When the bread man would leave bread at the doorstep of the station. We've been through a lot. What I will not do is pander to you, my loyal audience. Oh, no. And if that means enraging you, infuriating you, inciting you by saying, by speaking my truth, that I think the Cleveland Browns are a pretty damn good football team, and a big part of me likes the Cleveland Browns, has strong, positive feelings for the city of Cleveland, the city of my mother's birth. She brought me into the world, and so help me God, she'll take me out if she has to. If staying true to myself means making you, the Pittsburgh Sports Talk listener, mad, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And there's not a damn thing Andrew Filippone can do about it. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. Join Sun Chevy for their all-star open house all month long and open the door to a new Chevy. High of 75 today, low of 60 tonight. Should be sunnier tomorrow without the humidity and a high of 75, which will feel like 55. I have another confession for you in 5 minutes or so. Something happened on vacation that relates to the Pirates, and I've got to clear my conscience, or just, it's not even that. I don't feel bad about it happening. I'm disappointed. I'll tell you what that is coming up in a couple on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.